All right, welcome to Security Guy Radio, Black Hat 2016. What's your name, sir?
Ron Plesko.
And who do you work for?
I work for KPMG.
Big operation.
Big operation. Run our national practice for cyber investigations, intelligence, and analytics.
Okay.
Wow.
And what specifically do you do inside that space?
So inside of that space, I'm one of our leads as far what we call KPMG cyber. So we look at sort of left of incident, right of an incident. So I'm on the more the response side, but also the tech side. So threat intelligence towards detection, and then also response, cyber investigation, incident response, containment, and then mitigation. And we'll bring in the rest of our team to assist with mitigation.
Is this internal to KPMG or for all of its clients?
Oh, no, it's all of our clients. Actually, it's funny you ask that.
Yeah, who does your internal? Somebody else, probably.
We actually, they have a team that does that. We are part of that team's escalation.
Right.
So if they need that kind of subject matter expertise, we'll be brought in KPMG US to do that.
So you know more than the team that's responding internally?
Yeah, I have no comment on this.
Trying to get a lot of no comments. Yeah,
I will not have my email working tomorrow based upon that comment.
Well, that's true. So what do you want to talk about today? There's a lot to talk about. Internet of Things is kind of a thing.
Oh, sure.
What do you think?
I used to sit on a government/intelligence community working group with industry on where is it in 2025, where is it in 2030. So I take that as a basis for what I think. I think there's a lot of hype around it related to any connectivity of everything.
Right.
I think when we're talking to our boards, I spend a lot of time talking to board of directors, CISO, C-level. There's a lot of cyber fatigue around the issue of Internet of Things.
Interesting.
So, okay, everything's going to be connected. We're going to have 120 million connected devices. What does that mean for us from a risk and operations standpoint? So people that don't understand the tech, okay, just because now we can listen to what Ron's clothes say while he's in the car, what does that mean to us? So they really have to understand it from a risk and operation perspective and the IT's part of it, but what does that mean to them? So I'm part of our automotive group. I work with our automotive group on interconnected car, autonomous vehicle. Actually, as I talked to you today, I just was going through an article we're about to put out in the next couple of weeks related to your vehicles talking, the Internet of Things, and really the data that is coming out of your vehicle, not only the vehicle itself, the vehicles to come, but the interconnectivity between wearables, whether it's fitness clothing, fitness monitors, or whatever, into the car's infotainment system, out to the Internet. True Internet of Things issue. So as far as Internet of Things, I'm a big adopter. But I'm also a security person, so
sure.
I lock down at my house. Everything's locked down.
Yeah.
And I've
with your vast client base and different verticals and industries, which industry do you feel is more gravitating to the Internet of Things more rapidly than, let's say, medical versus utilities versus?
Wow, no, it's a great question. I think medical definitely, but they found a religion as it relates to security. So I've been involved in a lot of medical device investigations.
A lot of hacks come out recently.
But they have to because of mandates, right?
Right. But if
Because they probably wouldn't if they didn't have to.
But if Pulse, I can't talk about the companies that have been hacked, but they're well known. They may or may not be our clients. But if you think Pulse, that incident, and when I say they got religion, they got sort of at the board level, top down, they understand, hey, we might have that blank company's heart monitor, or we might have this
neural medicine
intensive care unit. What's crazy about the hospital systems is all those were sort of set up by different verticals, ad hoc onto the network, they all have punched holes in the firewall, or they're all out to get their updates from the manufacturers. It's a great Internet of Things conundrum. So add that model, go into sort of education, higher education, Internet of Things. I look at Internet of Things, and the companies that sort of have it locked down somewhat, retailers definitely, big financial institutions, et cetera. They test before they adopt, et cetera. But other entities just throw it up.
Where do you feel data privacy lays within the responsibility of the Internet of Things and the adoption within organizations?
So, good question. I'm an attorney. privacy law. I do not practice law.
We won't hold that against you.
Yeah, I won't. I was a prosecutor. I was one of the good guys.
Oh, that's good. All right. Okay, excellent.
So, but I do specialize in privacy. I don't practice law for KPMG, so there's my disqualifier. But to your question, Internet of Things, and whose data is it?
Yeah.
So as I look at the vehicle or what we just talked about, your car is talking. Have you given the right permission sets for your vehicle to talk? Now think about third-party vendors,
absolutely,
whether it's a car or not, OEM manufacturers, et cetera.
Yep.
As the data talks out, where does it go? Where does it get stored?
And who owns it?
Exactly.
Manufacturers or the users?
And then there's a bunch of companies that cloud everything, so just not storage, right? So cloud, software as a service,
and a lot of insecurities with cloud.
All that goes up, and the most draconian privacy laws out there are a couple of the nation states, Europe, Germany. Korea and
others. Germany doesn't like to save anything.
So then you have what's going on in the EU related to privacy. So now follow the data flow. And so where does that go and what's in there? What PII, PHI, or other identifiable information is in there about you or about your vehicle, about what you do?
Insane.
So privacy, wrapping that around it, takes specialized law firms, specialized attorneys to really deal with that issue. And it needs to be baked in as part of the waterfall, the software development lifecycle, or the development lifecycle. Security and privacy needs to be baked in as they have these great ideas.
Yeah.
Right, you got it.
Now, you said 120 million connected devices. People overreact to it possibly. I'm worried about the 6 billion devices when everybody gets a phone. Because eventually everybody on the planet's going to have a phone.
It's great. Yeah,
are we talking about artificial intelligence self-activating because everybody's connected? All the codes that's ever written can be written is done? I mean, it's... Yeah, they call it convergence or something. I can't remember what the term is for. But
What is Skytech? It comes in here. And,
exactly.
So on that issue, I go back to, I used to be a defense contractor. And so we did a lot of telecommunications infrastructure for third world countries. So you have those countries, whole-scale skipping devices, pad devices, computers, laptops, right to the phone. Everything's done on the phone. So now if you look at that multiple and as we pull that string, where that's going to be, it's a great question. So there's a great game that came out. I'm really not allowed to say company names.
Sure. That's fine.
This game that came out a couple of weeks ago, right, that everyone's walking around with.
Yeah.
Beautiful game. I think it's a game, it really, literally, pun intended, game changer in the industry.
Yeah.
Related to social media and interaction.
And virtual reality.
And virtual reality. But think of the data out of that. And think of the ability to fingerprint usage globally. And think about the intelligence community counterplay they want on that as well, too.
Yeah.
So do we have now that living, breathing internet where everyone's tracking? You have Skytech or whatever?
Yeah.
Maybe.
We might be there now.
Yeah.
Because you ever heard of Geofedia?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, you know, they do social media monitoring, and you put out a tweet, and it's saved. And it's,
there it is.
That's becoming, to me, the media. That's becoming news. It's real time.
Absolutely.
And it's kind of unfiltered and unedited. It's like, hey, I just took a picture of a bomb going off. Where the news says, let's do that at 6 o'clock. Let's edit it. Let's do something else.
Yeah.
Right.
I think it's all...
I mean, look what happened in Turkey and the social media used to leverage the updates real
time
with the attempted coup.
And right.
So think about the monitoring and or the manipulation of that towards whatever end, right?
Exactly.
So we have a company that we're partnered with called Bottlenose. They're really a public sentiment company looking at Web 3.0, social media, the 3,000-plus social media companies that are out there. Monitoring sentiment related to issues, people's, I mean, really, thoughts as it's being tweeted real time.
Wow.
That's fascinating where that is now and where it's going.
So I got this theory. It's ridiculous. People think I'm insane. Information's valuable because if you have and I don't, it's a commodity.
Right.
Right. And in the old days, people that knew things and how to do them, that was their information, their knowledge, and they were powerful. Right.
Right.
And now that field's leveling out a little bit. Because everybody's capable, in one way or another, of discovering things that weren't discoverable. They say that everything that, you know, human knowledge, all human knowledge, might be on the internet by 2025. Mm-hmm. Unbelievably,
yep,
right?
Very close.
That's why I'm saving those old Encyclopedia Britannica, because I don't trust
you
them.
You can OCR those.
Well, that's right, because you can change the history like that, right?
Right.
That's the danger. Do you think we're... My theory is this. If more of this was not secret and not protected and so on and so forth, would that lower our risk? In other words, it's only valuable to a hacker if I give a crap that my website gets hacked. And guess what? I don't.
So transparency and all that data, the
well,
lower security?
Well, maybe not everything, but on some of it, right? Terrorism is 85% open source.
Right,
They don't sneak around with a little mask on trying to get you. They just look up the internet and say,
there's
the plans for building, right?
Right.
So it's a weird concept, and I know it's not completely logical. On the other hand, I mean, you know, if 6 billion people have a phone, what privacy do you have in the first place?
Right, so I
don't know.
I'll sort of take that and say, okay, well, who are the providers? Who owns the pipes, right?
Who owns it?
So
right.
So the commoditization of this is not so much in the data itself, though. There's of course viewing, etc. What you're buying in the data, but the commoditization where you think all the companies what they've been buying up is storage and the ability to push and distribute. Content, distribute data.
Right.
Do you think our infrastructure is there today to support the demand that's inevitable?
No, I don't. It depends on the country. I don't think it's necessarily there today, but it's coming. So if you look at the investment and you look at a lot of
the cloud infrastructure,
VC funds, and where they're, and look at the big companies, US based, that have built out huge cloud infrastructure.
Yeah.
And then the telecommunications, U.S. and non-U.S., building out that huge infrastructure and their mergers with content providers.
Yeah.
So just, you know, three-letter network entity. So their merger, it's all about owning the storage and the flow of the data and then using that to sell that. What does Ron watch?
Yeah.
What does Ron look at? So that I love your model is, okay, all that data is going to be out there, maybe a lot more transparency. What's valuable is how I interact with it compared to you and compared to you.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah,
all right.
So.
Yeah, we talked about it on the last show. I fear that we're going to run out of space before we get to a point where we can get a handle on things.
I think so, too.
And what was that? There's a theory. It's based on a guy's name. He came up with it. He basically says that technology has grown exponentially at a rapid rate.
Moore's Law?
Yes, I think that's
it.
So eventually, a hard drive can only spin so fast and then it melts.
Right.
And if we can't make the next hard drive or chip,
right,
what happens to society? Do we just freeze or do we go backwards? What do you think?
I think there will always be a next. Right,
well,
because they're the incentivization for companies, monetary plus social, maybe social good, but more monetary, right?
Yeah.
To be out, and this is my own opinion for the KPMG people that listen.
Okay.
So, disclaimer. But my own opinion here is as that plays out, there will always be more. Now, question is, will it be storage as we know it today? Is it going to be different? Right.
Well, it could be different. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, a hard drive only spins so fast.
Yeah. Right.
And then maybe go to biometrics, and then.
Right.
Maybe there's no end. I just think sometimes things are finite.
Well, see, you got a phone manufacturer releasing ocular-based biometric in 2 weeks.
I heard about that. Yeah,
The next release is going to be scan my eyes, right?
So, I think it's better just to adopt the Matrix model. jump in a pod, take a nap.
Well, here's the question. Are we in that or not? And we just don't know it, right?
Well, that's the question.
That is true. Right?
So anything companies working on, the next greatest thing we should know
about? Yeah, I think we've invested a lot, both nationally and globally. We're organized by nation states. So KPMG US, KPMG Canada, et cetera. So Big Four is organized similarly. But we've spent a lot in trying to get ourselves to the number one entity for what we call cybersecurity. Right. And so if you look at the latest research related to that, we've done that. So I look at that and say, okay, the last 3 years, we took nationally and globally, and we call these SGIs, our growth initiatives. We invested in the U.S. and globally in all the countries that make up KPMG a lot in understanding cyber and sort of the companies, our clients, look at us, they're KPMG. So who are they, right?
Right.
But at the end of the day, they don't know there's multiple verticals that maybe touch a piece of cyber. So what we did is we took all those verticals, we put together a go-to-market plan for all those verticals, and it's been very successful for us.
Excellent. Website?
Sure, kpmg.com.
That's an easy one.
Yeah.
Name and title one more time?
Sure, Ron Plesko, Principal, Cyber Investigations for KPMG.
Ron, thanks for coming on the show. It's been
fascinating. Thank you so much, Chuck.
Maybe come in and do an hour show or Skype in.
I would love it, Sharice. Very good to see you.
Check our security before you do that first.
Yeah.
Just make sure the Skype's good.
Definitely. Right. We'll do a little pen test for you on the outside. Right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.